You're listening to Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Hey, you're listening to Positive Perspective. I'm Willis Boyd.
And I'm Shantae Duncan.
And you're listening to Positive Perspective. Denise is in studio tonight.
Hello.
And I'm going to let my in-studio guests introduce themselves so I don't butcher their names up badly.
Hi, I'm Marilyn Irizarry, and I am so grateful to be here.
Okay.
Hi, this is Lorraine Moreland, and I am very grateful to be here.
And yes, tonight our topic is about unequally yoked. And we're going to go the Bible sense or biblical sense of the word. And here I got a scripture here. It's 2 Corinthians 6:14. And Marilyn, you say that is just your cup of tea. You know all about that, right?
Well, I don't know all about it, but I've had a lot of experience. I am a minister. I've been a minister almost 20 years. Mm-hmm. I'm a counselor, secular counselor. I've been a counselor for about 35 years. And this is something that has come up many times for myself personally, in recovery for 27 years. Mm-hmm. And I was unequally yoked with all of the above.
Okay, now when they say unequally yoked, for the people out there that don't know what being yoked, I mean, yoked to me is like when you come out of the gym, you say, you know, you're all buffed. So, that dude is yoked, you know.
I was like swole.
Well, swole, but yoked is old school, you know. So what is yoked?
Well, older school than old school. If you're going to be with someone and you're going to go through a journey together, you've got to be absolutely sure that that journey is going to be the best one you can possibly have. And you're going to support and help each other.
I know.
So
oh,
the yoking
okay. Okay.
is to support each other on your journey.
So, but I've heard the, I guess, the definition or explanation of an ox.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of got into this last week just for a brief moment. And that's why I wanted to kind of just touch it again this week is if you have a ox. And I did say the word jackass.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I can say that on the radio. Can you
just
say that?
Did.
Oh. But if you have that, a yoke is the wooden thing that holds them together to plow the field or do the work.
Right.
And if you have a donkey, I'll say this time, and an ox, then it's unequal where that donkey, he's not used to doing that kind of work and that kind of thing. But the ox, he knows where he's going and he knows what to do. The donkey, not necessarily so. So unequally yoked mean it, that in my opinion is if you have two people that are there together and they're going to get the job done.
So basically you're saying that they're on the same page and the same accord with the same beliefs.
Well, they might not necessarily be all of that, but it's somewhere close to that, isn't it?
I understand it to be the healthiest way is that, yes, you have to have similar beliefs. And from my point of view, those beliefs have to start at the core. A lot of relationships do not even get into the belief system. I have a friend of mine who's married four times. And finally, the first date she had with her husband, she said, "What is your relationship with Jesus Christ?" And he gave the right answer. And she said, "We can have a second date."
Mm.
And they've been together for about 15 years now.
Okay, now, I mean, you say that, but what if that jive sucker... what if he said something just to, You know what I'm saying?
She wouldn't have the second date. She had already been through it.
I'm saying he said Jesus Christ, and then they went 80 dates, and then after they got married,
he changed.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
Okay, but what I'm saying is that we say Jesus Christ, and they say Jesus Christ, but we know, and you know from experience, that it's not always like that. There's a lot of folks out there fronting and lying and doing everything else in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. In the name of relationships, getting what they want and using and abusing and doing all that stuff in the name of Jesus.
Absolutely. And yeah. I know of this week, I was told, because I am a counselor, because I am a minister, I have a lot of stories, a lot of comparisons. Mm. And there is one pastor who's going to get a divorce. Mm-hmm.
Why? What kind of pastor is he? Is he a Christian?
Yes, he is. He's a Christian.
What kind of Christian is he?
He's a very well-respected. I've been to his services. I appreciate his passion, his love, mm-hmm. his integrity. However, something has happened between the marriage that is no longer conducive to continue this without being a lie. Without giving up some part of themselves that is not following what they're saying a marriage is about. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they've made that decision. So we change sometimes. We may go into a relationship really thinking we're going to do this. We're going to be long-term. We're going to be healthy. We're going to do whatever it takes. And then life happens. Also, everybody comes into a marriage, a relationship, with their baggage, and they don't even know what the baggage is.
But I know, but in Christ Jesus, and Shante, help me, is what's the book of love? Is it First Corinthians
13
through, and what you're telling me there is one of those two people, or if not both of them, are selfish.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so what they're not applying Christ to that situation. So that's why it's failing.
Right.
True?
I believe so. Uh-huh. Since I'm not their counselor, I cannot uh-huh. tell you, but from my point of view, which is always where I'm coming from.
Yes. You're always coming from your point of view?
My point of view. Nobody like else's. Just mine. This is it. Whatever's in this brain comes out of the mouth, and uh-huh. sometimes I've got to take it back.
Oh, well, you got to filter.
Yes.
Let the Holy Spirit filter you.
Yes, and I do live in that consciousness. Uh-huh. The Holy Spirit is everything about my life.
Okay.
I live in that place. Mm-hmm. I get to experience all these different people's points of view and give them information. And they have scripture. They have the book. They have the book. Yet it's interpretive. Because I go to different churches to talk to with different ministers, and I'll get a different interpretation from 10 different ministers on the same scripture.
And I mean, but it's so easier that a child can understand the word of God. So what are you talking about?
I'm saying that it is interpreted by each person.
But it's crazy. You don't think that's crazy?
I don't think it's crazy because that's how the way our brains work.
What, to try to manipulate the word?
Are you just saying how we all have a different interpretation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not necessarily manipulating it.
Is the light green? I mean, okay, love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes.
How do you interpret that?
That's straight out
love thy neighbor. I think she means there's certain scriptures themself. Where there's just arguments over it, or people have different interpretations. Some people believe this, some people believe that.
Well, I think
like
sometimes
there's
some
too. That are clearer than others.
We try to put it into our situation to make it for what fits us.
Yes.
I think what we need to do is we need to pray upon it and have God, you know, interpret, or, you know, through the Holy Spirit, what he was trying to say, instead of trying to manipulate it to being what we want it to say so that we can continue to do what we want to do sometimes.
Do you think these ministers are doing that, or they're just coming shooting from the hip with it? I mean, honestly, when you hear them, do you think their interpretation of what they read, is it so close to the scripture that you go like, oh, I get that?
One of the reasons we're asked to study is so that we will understand at a deeper level. And when we hear the words from one person and then another person and another person, ultimately the Holy Spirit within us has to decide, how am I going to do this? How am I going to discern? It could be just a change of intonation in the voice of how something is said to the way it's interpreted. Not necessarily negatively, but I can tell you, I see some ministers up there, they are dancing and prancing, and it is not about the scripture for me.
I'm right there
with you. It's about the personality. And da 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 da.
What people want? It's like I heard that at the Baptist church, they're not going to take tithes and offering anymore. They're just going to charge $12 at the door because they put on a darn good show.
It's histrionics. And I personally don't appreciate it.
Oh.
I don't want my minister to get up there and go, okay, and the scripture says, and he or she will read the word. I don't want that. I want passion. I want love. I want commitment. I want integrity.
But don't some pastors take it past that where it's no longer, it's like a show, and it's not necessarily the passion anymore, it's the show.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel that way too.
A lot, actually. Mm-hmm. I feel it a lot.
And what else do you feel, Miss Quiet Lady over there?
Lorraine.
I hear you, and I see it, and I can't cope with it in some churches that I go to, you know. And I listen to what they're preaching about, and I look at them, and I said, you know what, maybe they had a problem like I did, and I just wasn't saved. And sometimes when people get overwhelmed with being saved, they start telling you their story and comprehending the Bible the way they want to do. And I think sometimes that is not right. And, you know, like a lot of them, they don't really talk about the Bible anymore. It's all about them and what they need. Come on, let's pass that passage one more time. Okay, boo, 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 boo. Come on, let's pass that basket one more time. And I go to walk up to the pastor and say, hi, I can't get nowhere near him. So I'm trying to figure out what's really going on. You know, when you talk about the yoke part, I think it's being committed even when you don't feel like it. I think that's what marriage is about. Some people, but you always have to remember, people have the right to change their minds.
And yeah, like, but you don't, because you made a vow.
A lot of people's not making a vow. If you notice, they get up there and have their own marital vows.
Okay.
They're not doing it by the Bible anymore. They're doing it for what they feel that they should do in their way. And a lot of people is not Christians. A lot of people, we have different religions. And so, you know, a lot of things in. But the good example is Jesus. And that's what we have to be. As Christians, we have to show the example of Jesus.
And that's for heaven. But like I know some atheist folks that have been married for 84 years.
And why? And because what they believe in. And what is their,
They don't believe in... They don't believe in Christ, but they're genuinely good people.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they don't believe in heaven, hell, this or that. But marriage, you know, they're making it work.
Is it based on love?
I say, obviously, their marriage vows they took them were very sacred, whether they were religious vows or just a vow that was earthly, secular vows. They took it seriously, and it was, you know, to death.
Amen. Now, I can relate to that one because I saw my husband take his last breath. I hear a lot of people, oh, they're leaving. Like she said, pastors divorce. But when she said that, I came to a grip where when you do say to death do us part, that's a sacred moment. You know, I saw my husband actually take, squeezed my hand, and he took his last breath. You know, and how do you think that made me feel? I feel very well there was a God, because I could have gave up. I could have gave up long time ago, but I didn't. And my husband would always say, don't give up no matter what. Be committed when you don't feel like it. You know, he was in a wheelchair. One day I was walking on the side of him. And I said, honey, my feet is hurting. I'm tired. You know, he looked up at me from his wheelchair and he said, I'll tell you what, you get in the wheelchair and I'll walk. I never complained again. You know, and that really touched me, and it taught me so many different things. And what I'm saying here, we learn so much from each other. And if you have a real love and embracement with someone, it's worth holding on to. So I don't know what the world is about today, but these things come from the word of God. Love one another. Love thy neighbor. Who is my neighbor? You're my neighbor. You're my neighbor. You're my neighbor. And that's what it's all about.
Mm. Well, that's pretty deep. I would like to hear more about Marilyn was saying about how, and I don't know if you want to talk about this. Did I tell all you lovely ladies that you were lovely today?
Oh, thank you. You're quite handsome yourself, my dear.
Okay, get them checked, baby. Get them checked. But she was saying when, and I don't know, you were saying that she was not on her feet, I guess, and that whole thing when her husband met her.
All right, that's Lorraine's story.
Tell the story of
Andy. And if you would mind, let her tell her story, because I can't say it anywhere close to the way she did.
Well, yeah, I do have a story. I have a wonderful story, and it was very devastating in my life. You know, my life was broken and restored. And what happened is that I was homeless for 8 years, and I slept in a doorway after my first marriage. My first husband was brought drugs into the house, and I was drinking. It devastated my life. You know, I was one of those mothers, PTA meetings, and getting the kids ready for graduation and stuff, and that was my life. That's what I wanted. And then when the drugs came in and stuff like that, it was just devastating, because I wanted to stick with my man, do with my man. And that stuff just took me and threw me against the wall, like, boom. It was like, huh? Mm-hmm. So it seemed like I was in a coma for 8 years. But when they took my children away from me, I just didn't feel like I had anything to live for, because my children was my life. And I stayed homeless. I mean, I could live with my mother, but they didn't teach me to do that. So I wasn't going to put that burden on my mother. So I found my way in a doorway downtown Los Angeles. And that's where I made my home. And my newfound friends of homeless people, they watched over me. I watched over them. And the thing about it, I would clean up this alley for Payless, and they would pay me $10 a week, which was fantastic. $10 a week was a lot of money. And when the police would come sweep up everybody from the alley, they would take us all to jail. And I said, I can't go to jail. I got a job. So they would let me out, because they would call the manager of the store, and he said, yes, she's here every day. Mm-hmm. So I was a reliable, you know, $10 got me some respect. It doesn't matter, but it got me respect. So my husband lived in that building where I would hang out, and he was my friend at that time, and he would come out and ask me, was I hungry, and take me to Taco Bell on Broadway. And I thought it was just amazing that someone would care about me to eat some tacos and funny stuff like that. So I would go, and then the men would say, Chris is looking for you. And I was too dirty for anybody to really be looking for me and caring for me. And one day the nun told me, she said, Lorraine, I was going to the shelter, and the nun saw me in my doorway, and she said, Lorraine, I don't care what I do today. October 6, 1994, she said, I don't care what I do today, you are not sleeping on the streets anymore. So that day, I heard my name called, and I looked around. I didn't see anybody. But I always remember one pastor said, if you ever hear your name called, don't say you're not ready. So that day, I went to they sent me to an alcohol center for women. And that was the start of cleaning myself up, where I had no clue it was going to. And then my friend, Chris, he would write me and asked me if I need anything or anything. I was amazed. It was like, wow. And so I got my first apartment, got my kids back. And my husband, my friend, he was my friend at that time, was in a wheelchair because when he was 24, he had a motorcycle accident. But when I got my first apartment, I said, God, give me an apartment with windows all over the place. And God did. And one day I was in my kitchen and some said, look at the front door. So I looked at the front door and I seen this white hand go like, boom, down. I had to be white because I wouldn't have been able to see anything else. And so I went to the door and I looked at him and he looked at me and he said, now do you see how much I love you? And that's when I fell in love with him. He was amazing. And it just went on from there and we got married. I wanted to wait till my daughters get 18 years old so they could accept because I would be marrying out of my race. And they accepted him because he would be their stepfather.
Now, they'd had a problem if you married out of your race, or that was just something that was instilled in them, or what was the deal with that?
Yeah. Well, the thing about it, I had been away from their lives for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And here and their father, black man, and he's still alive, and they was raised around because they was with their grandfather. So here I come home, I've got a white boyfriend now. Come on now.
Oh, I think you were too hard on
but
yourself.
No, mm-hmm. But I wanted to show my kids an example. They were still young and they didn't see me get married with their dad because they wasn't even born yet. So the thing about it, I wanted them to accept. I don't know if my black kids like white people. I don't know that.
Well, you should know. You're their mom.
Did they say?
No.
I mean, come did on. They say?
Like, weren't you away from your kids for
yes,
8 or 9
exactly.
years?
So. Oh. Exactly.
There was other people raising your kids.
Exactly.
So she
exactly.
had been instilled in them from their right. grandparents.
Exactly. Yes. There you go.
So were your mother and was your mom and dad prejudiced?
It was her dad.
My mom? No, not at all.
Okay.
But they was already suffering from my defects of character. So I had to come back clean and bring things in my life clean and respectful and everything.
I got you.
And make
and
sure everybody so I waited till my daughters was 18 and they accepted that the person that's going to be their stepfather, and it was wonderful. And we started having grandkids, and my daughter, they're mixing their children up, and everybody looked at like everybody. So it was mm-hmm. really great. Mm-hmm. It was really great because I'm the one that opened the door for them. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that said it's okay. And as long as their mother was happy, they approved of everything. And that gave them a new dimension of life too, because I had been gone and I raised my kids to love me and me love them. But how did I know I was going to become an alcoholic and a drug user out there on the streets looking like a bum? Their mother. I had my kids in PTA. I was a PTA mother. I worked at Sentinel okay. Hospital.
Now, when your friend, he was already in a wheelchair?
Yes, he was.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I never thought that I would, like anybody in a wheelchair. What would I have to offer them? I don't know if I had the energy to take care of someone in a wheelchair. But mm-hmm. when he did my stairs and he climbed my stairs and left his wheelchair down there, I fell in love with him. Mm-hmm. My heart just dropped to him. Down there.
Mm.
And that's what a new dimension of my life. I didn't even know if I could deal having a white husband. So I don't. So it well, worked.
I can tell you it's not easy.
It's real. It is real.
But it was beautiful. I mean, he knew more about my culture than a black man did, actually.
Whoa.
Oh, I never been to the mountains. I never been up there to see the snow. I never been these kind of places to the mountains, the top of the mountains, and in a wheelchair, my husband took me these places.
Mm-hmm.
He knew every soul song there was, had every soul song there was.
Uh-huh. Could he? No, sorry, I didn't do that. I almost said the wrong thing. Okay. Could he dance? Oh, wait, he could dance. Could he ever dance?
My husband could not, but you know what? He wanted to impress me so. His Christmas party, he got out that wheelchair and he started dancing. They couldn't believe it. It is drop. And oh. I can turn the right music on in the house and he'll get up out that wheelchair and just start dancing like a little kid.
Oh, okay.
His soul was on fire.
All
and his
right,
mother.
Then
his
he
mother,
could dance.
Well, he never really got out that chair, but when he got with Soul Sister, he was on it. He was great. He was, it was, I had the most wonderful wedding. Mm. I had learned so much through him and not to give up on life. And he was a photographer. And he took a lot of pictures of the homeless people downtown, and they loved him, you know. So I had a wonderful, you know, to come out off the ground and someone, I was filthy dirty. Okay, he was a good-looking man. He could have had anybody.
Well, you're a good-looking woman.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, now I want to say, do you feel that you were evenly yoked?
Absolutely.
Okay, now he was a Christian man, assuming.
Catholic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is a Catholic a Christian?
Yes.
You think?
Yes.
You think?
Oh, my husband wouldn't do anything without Jesus, but he did worship Mary. Mary, Mother of God.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He did the rosary every day.
And I'm not going to get into that. That's another show.
But I know. Hey, you know, he said there's a three chord, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. And I know a lot of Catholic people that are awesome. Awesome, awesome people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the saint worship and all that craziness, I'm not going to judge. We'll let the God deal with that when they get up there, if they get up there.
See, that's what we was talking about, the different pastors and different marriages. If you notice, and what's going on in our world today, you listen to the news. You've been a Christian man, but you say, I would have did something like that. Who in the world are they believing in? Then a mother says, oh, my son was such a good Christian. He went to church every Sunday. Mm-hmm. I just didn't believe he did this. But he did. Mm-hmm. He did do it. Yeah. So how do you balance this off? And what do the people embrace to know the difference between good and bad in a Christian life?
Well, I think the Bible is clear. And I'm not saying that we're all... The reason we have Christ is because none of us can keep that. And we're all flawed. Okay, but I think that it's clear on some things. And I think it is absolutely clear on something. There's only one mediator between God and man. Okay, now, when hierarchy or people up there change that to manipulate people.
Yes.
And those people are manipulated by it. And what I'm saying is that the truth is there for all of us.
I'm going to interject here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
For years, I actually thought the Catholics were demonic.
You don't anymore?
No. No. Because I've been blessed to have some of the most wonderful, loving, compassionate, honest people of complete integrity. Mm-hmm. The fact that there are aspects of their belief system that are not like I feel that I want to do my journey, I have taken that and given that to God. Mm. I've said, okay, I'm not the judge. You've told us not to judge. Mm-hmm. You've told us, don't do it. I've had people in my life that I loved that died, that were Catholics. I have no doubt whatsoever that they are with the Lord right now. Mm. None. There are aspects of belief systems. That's why I am so interested in 2 Corinthians 6:14 for so many years, is that you can have a difference in some aspects of your belief system. It can still be scriptural. You can still believe in similar things. Mm-hmm. However, there may be differences, and that's all right for me, because if you were equally yoked, regardless of whether you're Protestant or Catholic, if you're equally yoked, that's between you and God. That's how I see it. Mm-hmm. I keep on saying this. I won't stop saying it. My interpretation of reality is from my point of view.
So when you say a person has the different interpretations, the Bible says that there's only one mediator between man and God, and that's Jesus Christ. So when the Catholic people pray to Mary and to the saints, not only to Mary, but to the saints, and I have a friend that's dying of cancer, they give him little statues that say, this statue heals cancer.
Peter.
Right.
And isn't that taken away from the glory and the power of Jesus Christ? Is it? Is
it? Before you answer, before you answer, we're going to cut to our announcements, and we'll get right back to that.
Oh.
You can visit iTunes.com to download podcasts from our previous shows. And if you'd like to call in, our number is 800-893-9562. The best impressions start at home. Elite for affordable prices. Livin' Large Furniture. That's Livin' Large Furniture. Call Richard at 951-214-8555. For interesting talk radio, make sure to tune in to the Qumran Report with Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. Their show is Monday nights at 8 p.m. live from Skid Row Studios. Drama Stage Qumran has a weekly veterans workshop, also led by Melvin Ishmael Johnson and Earlene Anthony. The workshop is on Wednesday nights from 4 to 6. It's a free course in stage managing, playwriting, and more. If you'd like more information about this, you can contact Melvin at 213-908-6567 or email him at dramastage1@yahoo.com. We'd like to thank our professional engineer, Cheyenne. You're doing a great job. Thank you. And if you'd like to be a part of our show through sponsorship, contact us at 951-789-1046. If you'd like to learn more about Positive Light Ministries and donate, please visit our website, positivelight.org, and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/wearepositivelight. Now, back to our discussion.
Where were we?
All right. So, again, my understanding is if you give your life to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that is your reality. We may not like what other people do with their belief system. We may not like that they are going to priests
mm-hmm.
or having saints. But the bottom line for me is, are you going to be kept out of heaven because you did this?
Mm.
Or were you told that you were to give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ with everything you've got inside of you,
mm-hmm.
and then you get to come home?
Well, I think also when we all get up to heaven, we're going to have to answer for everything that we did down here on earth, whether it's praying to the saints, to Mary. That's each person is going to stand up there and have to answer for what they did.
There's a great white throne of judgment, but Shante, what's the scripture of if anyone comes preaching anything but what we're teaching you, then that's not right. Okay, that's what the Apostle Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where I have a problem with things. It's like, you know, the Irish and the over in the Middle East, exploding people because they believe a certain way. And I'm just going to go here. The Bible says certain things about homosexuality. And like you brought out a point that there are good mm-hmm. and bad in everybody, whether they're homosexual or what their beliefs are.
Right.
And regular people or regular people, I don't think there's such a thing, but... they're good and bad, but because that homosexual believes that he's a good and he's accepted Christ as a homosexual and believes that he can stay in that according to the word of God.
Right.
I mean, and it's clear.
Right.
Okay. Is he going to heaven because he believes, you know what, I'm a good person and I've accepted Christ with all my heart and all my soul and I'm doing right. And then God's word says another thing.
Hmm. But isn't homosexuality according to the Bible considered a sin? So is that going to, because of that sin, is that going to keep him if he follows with what it says that you have to get to heaven? Do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Did he die on the cross to forgive us for our sins?
Okay, but there has to be repentance, okay? There has to be repentance. And to me, when you're worshiping saints and Mary and putting Mary in the place of Christ, there's something wrong. And I mean, I'm not a brilliant person. And thanks to the Spirit of God that I can understand the Word of God, because without it, I couldn't.
Right.
Okay. But there's that line there that people want to say, well, you know what? I can do my thing. Mm. And, you know, I believe God in my heart and I'm living right and paying my bills and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I can do my thing. And I can teach someone else to worship Mary. Mm. And I can teach someone else that little dolls that I believe that God said, do not make
idolatry.
Those images that this little doll is going to
have no other God before me.
Yeah. Can cure cancer. So they give a doll instead of saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, through the mighty blood of Jesus Christ, ask for that healing.
Hallelujah.
Okay? So, I mean, when we start looking at those kinds of things and you say, well, I think that's sincere and blah, blah, blah. And then what do you got to say about that? Hit me with it. What do you want to say? Say anything you want.
Okay, I'm not defending people's belief systems.
You're understanding it.
I understand it, especially because I am a counselor and I am a minister. So I get to listen to people, and then I can give them scripture, and I can tell them, this is what you have. Here's your information. What are you going to do with it? Mm-hmm. And how are you going to justify your actions, or are you going to be in that spirit? What are you going to do? How are you going to live your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I can understand that. I mean, you really don't have much of a choice, you know. Go ahead.
Can I say something about that? Because, you know, when I was in sin, and this lady would give me scriptures, it's like she just give them to me. She wouldn't explain them to me at all. And I looked at the Bible and I looked at it, and man, I felt like I was going to die right there. I closed that Bible so fast. But today, when I read the scripture, and I'm not on drugs or alcohol or anything like that, I can comprehend it a lot better, and I'm not afraid that I'm going to get punished or something terrible is going to happen to me. And that's what it's all about. So I feel when someone is giving someone a scripture, it's very important that you share what that scripture is about so they have a better understanding. Because a person in sin, you can help them all that you want. But if you're not communicating with them and helping lifting them out of there, and you sit there and they're there by themselves, they might commit suicide.
From just guilt, from a guilt aspect?
Or? No, you're saved. You're a good man.
Don't you put me in that boat.
But here you go. You see me, but it's nothing you can do to help me. And you give me, well, okay, I'm going to write Lorraine some scriptures. Boo, 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 boo. And so you just hand them to me, and bye, you go on about your way. And then I go in, because I'm still a good girl, Christianly, but I'm in sin. This is the way I look at it. And I go in there, and I read that thing, and it scares me to death. I close my Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you just get those, first off, you have to make sure that you get your soul and your mind, and, you know, to ask for understanding of them. But a lot of times, like you said, people just hand you a tract or something.
Yeah, and I'm in sin, but they're trying to save me. I'm not even saving myself.
Yeah, I know, but I think that there's a spirit involved. And like Marilyn was telling me that you plant seeds. And sometimes that scripture, it just goes boom. Because the spirit probably is why that person just gave you that scripture.
And you're telling the truth, because I'm going to tell you why. Because in that house, I did see a spirit. I saw an angel. Because I was baffled with these scriptures. I was really scared.
Mm-hmm.
And I even looked twice. I had put my kids to sleep, and I looked twice. There was this beautiful angel. And my life started changing after that. So the scriptures did come alive because I had that spirit to come embrace me. But if without that spirit, for me, I don't know what would have happened. But like you said, when you spoke about the spirit, it knew what I needed when I didn't even know.
And see, that's a lot of times what Marilyn was saying is that And kind of along the lines of what you're saying to regurgitate something you were saying earlier, is that you can't really, us as sinners and humans, that she's just planting seeds, and then we have to rely on the Spirit. Now, in her seat as a counselor, you have people coming to you, but like you say, people dropping scriptures to you, and maybe that's what the Spirit said. It's just boom, and then I'll take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm. I've had people years later. In fact, I just wrote 1998. I bumped into a man that I'd known in Vegas. I lived in Las Vegas three times. I was a practicing alcoholic at the time, but I also had been baptized at a very early age, and that was inside of me. And I would speak the word to people, and they were drinking. And this man in 98, I hadn't seen him in 10, maybe 15 years. He said, "I want to thank you for helping save my life, because you and the ladies used to pray on me, and you would talk to me, and you saved me. You helped save me." Not you saved me.
Right.
You helped save me. I'm alive today. I'm sober today. Mm-hmm. Because of the way we were then. We didn't know. And it was revealed to me right then and there after speaking with this man for a while that you never know when you are speaking the word mm-hmm. of God to anyone at any time, if it comes from the Holy Spirit within you, if it comes with the sincerity, with the integrity, it's not your job to know.
Mm. And it will not come back void. Mm.
But it's true even more than just of the word of God that you talk about. As Christians, we need to make sure that we carry ourselves in a way that's going to represent Christ.
Yes.
Always. So if...
Did you say always? Because I'd have messed up.
Well, no, but we all
I'd have messed up like 84 times
but
today.
But we always do because today. You're absolutely right. You don't know on what you had. I have had people, you know, in a job that was nothing to do with reading the scripture or anything like that, come back years later and say something that you said or did or something... Help them along and that turn their lives into a way that made them very, you know, successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I said, as Christians, we have to always carry ourselves that way. Because you don't know. People are looking what you can say or do that may affect them way beyond, you know, you never see them again or, absolutely. You know, years later and they'll say something.
Would you like to chime in on this? I mean, I know because she's in college and she's... Got a boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. She's trying to get things right and do things right. So this unevenly yoked stuff is, you know, I mean, from where we're coming from, as might be a little, I won't say out of her league, but would you like, what about?
Well, it can go along with, you don't have to take evenly yoked just being with your husband or your boyfriend. It can be also with the friends that you choose. And that's where Shantae has to, you know, apply what we're saying just to her personal life.
Exactly.
So what do you, I mean...
I mean, yeah, I get what she's saying. I think it's a cool perspective of it applying with the company that you keep.
Wait a second. It's also a positive perspective.
Right. Mm. With the company that you keep and who you have surrounding you, whether those people are building you up or knocking you off your path. So I think I like what Denise just said. The unequally yoke thing can apply to more than just a marriage. It'll apply to every relationship that we have. That's, you know, not physical or anything like that.
But. Well, I think the Bible does say something about, I mean, also business, not mm-hmm. to be,
yes.
you know, unevenly.
She just coughed. It's okay. we all do it.
It goes along those lines. But as far as like, I know you have friends that are not Christian friends mm-hmm. at.
Yeah, I'm in Christian clubs at school, so I have friends that are Christian, and then I have classmates and musician friends that aren't Christian.
Now, do you think that we should, as Christians, just stay away from those evil non-Christian people? Do you think that or no?
Well, if you don't associate with anybody that are non-Christian,
uh-huh.
how are they ever going to get to know about Christ?
Yeah, I've spoken with friends about the Bible. I've spoken with, different friends that have different backgrounds. Either they're Jewish or they, think this way
or
that way. I
love Jewish people.
Yeah, they're really...
Thank you, honey.
Very interesting, cool people. But Denise was saying, there's opportunities to talk about Christ, to talk about your faith, and that wouldn't be possible if you only hung out with people that are Christian.
So Paul didn't just go to Christian cities.
No, Jesus didn't.
And he didn't just
he
go
gave
to
me hope.
Christian exactly. Christian bookstores.
Yeah. And,
oh no.
Just remember where your belief is. Yeah. Remember where
you have
your
to have your foundation
is.
And know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And make those right decisions. But I still think it's possible to have friends and to have contact with people that don't share your faith.
That's true.
What about Shantae is young. She's the youngest one here. I'd like to know her opinion about how would you approach somebody, you are Christian, and somebody is not a Christian and trying to find their way and seem so lost. Mm-hmm. What kind of example would you give this person?
I think depending on where they were at, I would try to see if I can relate or share with them a scripture, let them and try and pray with them, mm-hmm. But I think I'd let them talk first before I just, shoot out my advice just to see where they're coming from and where their mindset is. And, hopefully the Spirit will be working in me so I don't, speak on my own, but speak through Christ.
I like that.
And again, our actions, speak a whole lot. So how she carries herself exactly. around those people, because once people know that you're a Christian, it's like Ooh. They got their eyes out. Let me Ooh. See, they're looking for you to falter. They're looking for you to fail because they can say,
mistake.
If you, as soon as you make that mistake, Ooh. They're saying, see,
exactly.
And we're all imperfect. We all are sinners. And so we are going to stumble out there. And we have to make sure that when we do stumble around, especially non-Christians, that we let them know, hey, I'm only human. But because I know Jesus, I have the ability to pray to him and ask for forgiveness on my mistakes that I've made and my faults that I have. And he'll forgive me of those and help me when I reach those same circumstances again, not to make those same mistakes.
And what I tell him usually is that, I'm a man just like you, except for God is not looking at me. He's looking at Christ. I'm standing behind Christ because I've been washed in that blood and God is not looking at me anymore. He's looking at Christ. Ooh. Okay. And then I call him a jive sucker. You jive sucker. Well, that's the explanation I give, is that we're all human and we all make mistakes and I'm not walking on water because I am a Christian. It's just that God doesn't see me anymore. Right. He's looking at Christ because Christ paid that price.
He's our path, our mediator.
Absolutely.
So it's not that we're different. We're human just like you are, except for you just don't have that you don't have Christ in front. He's looking at you and he's looking at you in your sin. Mm-hmm. Now you're looking at me a little bit odd, Marilyn. Okay, now if you got something on your mind, you need to just talk to me.
I was taken aback with the jive sucker thing.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't really sure about that. But I did want to interject something about what Denise was saying earlier, is that I was invited to do the invocation for the LA mission. They have a year program. They graduate. They graduate after being there a year. And I specifically told them to behave in a way, because you never know who's going to be looking at you and who's going to determine whether they want to be a Christian by your actions all the time. And yes, you are human. You make the mistakes. And then you say, this is who I am. I am a human and I do make mistakes.
But we
However,
don't.
Okay. Everything about me is that I believe in the Lord above all things, so that I can go and say, please forgive me, and that it's taken care of.
But we don't live and see that's another thing that, that people think, you know, well, okay, so he forgives you. So, and that's kind of a thing with the Catholic Church. They go in and see the priest confess their sins and then go out and do the same thing over again. It's not that we live in that sin. We cannot say, well, he's going to forgive us.
So I think there's a lot of people do that in media, like with musicians that thank God for the awards that they get, and then the lifestyle, the music, and everything else they put out is totally opposite of that.
It's a very
distorted.
People just
think, you know, I'll pray to God and I know I'm a sinner, and then they still do the same things over and over again.
I think the thing is when we sin, you have to, when we repent, means that I'm going to attempt with everything not to do that same thing over again. Think, right. Oh, God, forgive me for that. Okay, I go out and do it. God, forgive me for that. That's not true repentance.
Right.
But what about weakness? Like, say...
But that's a weakness you have.
Can I say crackhead?
But I think that's...
I'm pretty sure you can.
You okay. know, when you do that, and they may be very, very sincere, but they have a weakness. That's when you have to try to recognize, I have an issue, I have a problem, I have to try to seek help for that. And you may stumble and fall. We all stumble and fall over again. Get up, dust yourself off, and just say, I have to try harder. God, give me the strength this time. Help me to make it over that hurdle.
And what do you have to say about that, Marilyn?
I believe that that's very important to do in life, about everything. I have weaknesses. I have characteristics. I constantly wake up in the morning and go, okay, I'm here today, so I know I need your help. Please help me in those things that I still feel that I am weak in. And I do struggle. This. Yes.
We have 3 minutes left, so just closing comments.
Oh, okay. Closing comments. Thank you, Shante Marie. Water bottle lady, and then go ahead. Lorraine, right?
Yes.
Go ahead. You have any closing comments, anything you'd like to say in
well,
closing?
Yes, I would just like to tell young, old, all people, men and women, children, don't be afraid to give your life to Christ. He's there for you, and he loves you more than you could love yourself. And he keeps you safe and secure all the days of your life. So don't be afraid and don't give up. That's what right. I'd like to say.
Beautiful. Marilyn?
I am very, very grateful for this opportunity, because the way that we can help change the world as I see it, it's a very intense, not a positive experience. That this is how we can change, is by giving of ourselves to whoever's listening. Mm. And that's how we get to change it.
Okay. Anybody else? Huh? Me? Okay. You know, I ain't got nothing to say. Okay. would you like to read that, Miss Duncan? And read it from your heart, girl.
Okay. Remember, we are never more like Jesus Christ than when we are forgiving, loving, and creating.
All right. And that's going to wrap our show. We have a little time left. And anybody?
Well, I think we want to thank our guests, Marilyn and Lorraine, for coming in. You guys were very, very interesting.
Beautiful and, story.
Yeah, it was great.
For having me. Thank you. It was a wonderful opportunity, and I loved every moment
and
of
Marilyn,
it.
And Marilyn, I talk to you. Are you going to be able to come back?
Yes, absolutely. I'm always right. full of opinions.
Your own.
Yes, my own. My adventures, my point of view. And as I said, I'm really grateful that I can share, mm-hmm. because I'm not always right. Whatever I may say is from my head, my heart. And somebody can argue the point of whatever I'm saying, and that's okay too, because okay. I learned that way.
Now that, when I said jive sucker, jive turkey or whatever I said, okay, now that you're not always right, that's baffling me. Why would you say something like
you're
that?
You're funny.
I'm just keeping it real.
Oh, okay.
Remember, I did tell you, you do have class. But so do I.
Class. Oh, you doing the New York? Yes, you doing the New York thing?
Class. Yeah.
Give us a New York thing. We got 13 seconds.
I came from the streets of New York, and I have class because I take my dog for a walk whenever I want to.
Okay, there you go.
Thank you for listening to Positive Perspective.